Let's get into God's word. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord, be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Saviour. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desires of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, breathing out violence. I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Amen. Wow. Some incredible words there, aren't they? Some incredible words. The thing that, as we were looking last week at the whole story of Hannah and Eli and Hophni and Phinehas and Samuel, and we brought out in our growth group just how much Hannah's prayer, how that impacted so much. And we just went on till, I think it was about 9:30, 10 o'clock. We were just so involved in the discussion. And again, this is my advertisement. If you are not part of a growth group, you really are missing out on enjoying the meat of scripture, getting together and talking and learning more about what is preached on a Sunday. And while I was sat there, as I was thinking, as Pastor John was praying, that one phrase came to my mind. One thing I ask. One thing I seek. And that got me thinking, so what is it? What is the one thing that I would ask of God? What is the one thing that I seek? And obviously, you do your search and you look as where the scripture is. And then I've devoured this psalm this past week or so and really got into what it says. David wrote the psalm. You'd think this is an incredible man. An incredible man who could write these words and say, there's only one thing that I would ask. There's only one thing that I would seek. We're crackling. Let me try and adjust it. Is that better? Are we on? So I wanted to just kind of look very briefly at David's life. I love looking at people's lives and who are they? What did they do? What inspired them to write? It's one of the things that we try to do as a worship team when we introduce new songs is to look at the song and what inspired the artist to write that song. What part of scripture inspired them? What were they going through in life to inspire them to write these words that we sing week in, week out to give praise and glory to God? So what is it that inspired David to write these words? One thing I ask. So David must have been a very special kind of person. You know, somebody that's like out there, just really somebody that we can look up to, somebody that we can live our lives as an example to him. He must have been somebody who did no wrong and was an incredible man. Yeah? For you biblical scholars, you already know what kind of person David was. Maybe some of you are not quite so sure about David and who he was. We're just going to do a quick summation of his life. David was a shepherd. Started out as a shepherd, which as we know, was the lowest of low. There was the exile of society. Not only that, but he was the youngest of his brothers. Again, not something to be proud about. You can be proud if you're the firstborn. You can be proud because all the inheritance. But when you get to the, it's not as good. The youngest of Jesse's sons. But yet, his prominence came when he faced Goliath. Goliath, this mighty man who stood against the Israelites. And David said, what's going on here? We're not having this. So what did he do? He got his sling and his stone. And he knew with his sling and a stone, he could defeat the army. Why? He had no armor. Well, we know that Saul tried to give him the armor, don't we? He tried to give him this armor, but he was too big. David says, no. I will go in God's power. I will go with the things that I have, and God will use what I already have. You know, there are things that you have in life and you maybe look at and other people look at and you will see that it is small and insignificant, but you'd be amazed what God can do with it. You'd be amazed what God could do with it. So his rise to prominence was through him defeating Goliath. He displayed courage in the face of massive odds, overwhelming odds. He was catapulted into amazing positions in King Saul's court, where he served as a musician and a warrior. But then we know things went a bit wrong, didn't we? Saul was jealous of what was going on. And then for years, David went into exile and lived as a fugitive. There were some significant things that happened in David's life as well. We know eventually he becomes king. But you know, one of the big falls of David was he was a peeping Tom. Weren't he? He was a peeping Tom, you know. And I do this as a challenge to men and to women. You know, we read about David, you know, watching somebody having a bath over there. We see that and we see it's wrong. You know, now we can do it in the seclusion of our bedrooms, on our little devices that nobody can see, nobody knows about. Still a peeping Tom. Still looking at things that we shouldn't be looking at. So this is a challenge for all you people out there that are doing that and thinking, nobody's looking at me, nobody can see what I'm doing. God knows everything. So David was a peeping Tom watching somebody having a bath. What did he do then? He had a committed adultery with her. What did he do then? Decided to murder her husband. I mean, it's getting worse. This is David, who wrote, "One thing I ask, one thing I seek." Significant moral failures. It was an abuse of power. The king, I can do what I want. I'm in a position. How many times do you hear that in, sadly, in churches? I'm a pastor, I can do what I want. It's so sad, isn't it? People abusing power. The consequences of this just rippled through his family and kingdom. Eventually his rebellious son Absalom and his family, the violence and all the political instabilities that were going on. And yet this is the man that we've just read in his psalm and other psalms as we were just praying in the prayer meeting. The Lord's my shepherd. I shall not want. So many other psalms that we read that David wrote, and here he says, "One thing I ask, one thing I seek." You see, when David wrote these words, I believe he wrote them out of a time of crisis, not a time of comfort. Out of a time when he was going through difficulty, he wrote, actually, when all is stripped away, and I simply come. Again, the song that we sing, again, was an incredible story of how Matt Redman was led to strip away all the music in his church. And God gave him those words, "When all is stripped away, and I simply come longing just to bring something that's of worth." David says, "One thing I ask, one thing I seek." You see, when we're facing our enemies, when we're facing betrayal and uncertainties, you experience the fickleness of humanity. We're so fickle, aren't we, as human beings? Relationships, Saul's jealousy, Absalom's rebellion, even his own moral failures. It's times like this, moments like this, that David discovered that everything else could be stripped away. But God's presence, his guidance, his love, and his grace remains constant. Amen? See, David learned that through painful experience, that earthly things, earthly securities are only temporary. Earthly things are only temporary. Kingdoms fall, relationships fail, health deteriorates, and even families can turn against us. But in the house of the Lord, in God's presence, he found an unshakable refuge. He found a place where he said, "Listen, all this can go, but there's only one thing I ask. There's only one thing that I seek." Yeah, he's human. We're all human. Which is why we have to build each other up in the most holy faith. Because you don't know what the person next to you has gone through this week. You don't know the difficulties that they have faced, and they just want to come to church and want to hear that encouraging word from the person that sat next to him, from the person that's going to serve them in tea and coffee, from the person who greets them as they walk in the door, a smile, a handshake, to build them up and not tear down. Can we trust in our health? We can't, can we? Can we trust in our family, in our husbands, our wives? You know, I hope to a certain point, yeah, we can. But in the reality, there is only God that we can trust in. There's only God that is the constant in our world. Like David, we live in turbulent times. If you ever go into looking at end time prophecies and everything that is going on, we're certainly closer today than we were yesterday.
Boy, what is going on in the world? The economy, relationship breakdowns, health crises, the global instability create this undercurrent of anxiety, which is why we have so much mental health going on in the world. Can I encourage you, and I'm not belittling anything that people go through, seek first his kingdom. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. You know, and all these things will be given to you as well. Seek first. You know, honestly, the NHS can't cope. We've got mental health professionals here. And you talk to any of them and they will say, there's probably a list as long as your arm, a waiting list to get to see somebody. And what are they going to do? They're going to talk to you. Yeah, they may give you things to do and things to help, but can I just say, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. 1 Peter 5, 6 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Resist him. Stand firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kinds of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong. Stand firm and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Stand firm. In a world where we're taught to seek refuge in stuff, in things. We're taught to seek refuge in our careers. Get that next promotion and you'll be okay. Your money worries will be gone. You get that next promotion, that extra money, and your financial problems will be gone. How many of you have been promoted time and time again, and yet your money worries haven't gone? How many of you? I've told you before, I spent I did 10 years in McDonald's, and I started from the bottom, and I became an assistant manager. I got some good pay increases. When I left that company, I was on a good wage. I didn't have any more money. You understand what I'm saying? You can get every promotion you want. Your money worries won't go. There'll always be something else. Or we put our trust and faith into relationships. And how many times do people let us down? How many times do people not do what they say they're going to do? Into possessions and things, or even achievements. You know, a few years ago, I cycled coast to coast. And again, you get that kind of momentum. Right, what am I going to do next? You know, you hear of people that run marathons and then they need to run another marathon. And then they have to do back-to-back marathons. And then they have to do an Ironman. And then they have to do back-to-back. There's just no stopping. It just keeps going. Your refuge is not in achievements either. It is only in Jesus Christ. You see, David's example calls for a different response. It's not in the stuff that we can see. It's not in the stuff that we can hold. I mean, we even came this morning and this keyboard wouldn't turn on. So again, you're like, what is going on? We're expecting Amy to play keys. How is she going to play? We've sorted it, by the way. We can put our faith and our trust in stuff, and it'll let us down every time. So what things can you do to about change? So when you are facing crisis, make your first response prayer and not panic. When you're facing crisis, make your first response prayer and not panic. Develop a daily practice that anchors you in God's presence before the storm comes. Develop a daily habit that anchors you in God before the storm comes. As some of you may know, I go sailing. I'm part of a sailing club at Ully Reservoir. There's a bit where we call it the beach. There's a bit of sand and there's the jetty. And whenever you put out your boat, unless you're very silly, you will always anchor your boat to the jetty. Even if it looks like a mill pond. Even if it looks as calm as anything, you would be very silly to not anchor your boat to the pontoon, to the jetty. Why? Because you don't know when that wind is coming. You don't know when that storm is just around the corner. I am anchored so that I know that that boat is protected. If I go, sometimes I'm on the safety of the speedboat. Again, that doesn't even have a sail. But I will always make sure that that is anchored to the jetty. Because even without a sail, the wind will still blow it away. And then if I'm on safety boat and the safety boat's in the middle of the lake, there's not much I can do. There are principles that you can put into play. Remember that while circumstances change, while things around us are changing, God's character, God's love, and his support for you remains constant. Amen? Create those times, as we've heard last week, and I go back to when Dennis was praying. Create those times when you just fall to your knees in surrender before God. Those quiet times of prayer where you are intentional about connecting with God. Where you are intentional to be with him. And it doesn't have to be like, oh, I'm going to spend an hour. Or I'm going to spend 3 hours in prayer. Yeah, do that. But you know, even if it's just 5-10 minutes, where you're able to just get on your knees and say, God, I don't know what to do with this. Roll out of bed and say, God, I'm not facing today without you. I need you. You see, we live in a world of infinite options. We live in a world of endless distractions. Have you ever, and I can honestly say I do not have TikTok and I don't watch TikTok, but have you ever been on TikTok or YouTube or Facebook or whatever, and suddenly 2 hours have gone? And what are you doing? You're exercising your thumb. That's all you're doing. You're exercising your thumb. We live in a world of countless distractions, unlimited things that give us options. Choices can leave us paralyzed, constantly switching between different things. You ever walked into a coffee shop or even a fast food restaurant? When I worked there, there was about, let's say, 10 items that you could buy. Now, there's probably about 100. You can't just buy coffee anymore, can you? You want a cortado? Do you want a latte? Do you want a skinny vanilla Whatever. Do you know there's so many options, isn't there? And we think as humanity, we want options. We want to lay out all our cards out. And just in case, we want options. No, we don't. Because the whole thing about, and again, this is not advertising for McDonald's, but when I was there, they did a big thing about never advertising that it's a fast food restaurant. It's a fast service restaurant. That's what they, a load of rubbish. But now we've got all those options, and now you just get people stood there like that. Or on these computer big screens, scrolling through. Oh, no, hang on. What's that one? Again, we've got very exercised fingers, haven't we? The amount of stuff we're doing. We think that options are good for us. David's example shows us that true freedom comes not from not keeping all the options open, but from choosing the one that gives meaning to everything else. The one option. The one option of Jesus Christ. The one option of the Saviour who sent his only son to die on a cross for each and every one of you. I'm just about finished. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. I want to read through that psalm again. But as I was reading through this psalm, I was amazed just how much the assurance stood out to me. The assurance that David had in God. And just at the bottom corner, I've put what assurance I thought it is. You may get something else. So the first, as we read, the first one is, he's asking rhetorical questions with assurance. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? He's not asking, whom shall I fear? He's telling himself, whom shall I fear if the Lord is my light and my salvation? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Absolutely nobody. Hallelujah. This next bit, I think these are statements of assurance. When evil men advance against me, and we know there is evil happening all the time, to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, the assurance, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. The war break out against me. Again, the assurance, statement of assurance. Even then will I be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord. This is what I seek. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. It's a statement of assurance. I will gaze upon his beauty. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Statements of assurance. And now I believe this is a cry out to God, but of assurance. Hear my cry, hear my voice when I call God. Hear my voice, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says, seek his face. So your face I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, Oh God, my Saviour. And then this next bit, I think, is humility. Humbling himself with assurance of who God is. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desires of my foe, for false witnesses rise up against me, breathing out violence. He's humbling himself before God. And finally, his assurance is in God. I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Let's close our eyes. Jesus. We're going to sing this song again. Waiting here for you. You know, as we read about waiting on God, it's not a waiting and doing nothing. It's a waiting and praising. It's a waiting in assurance that he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. It's a waiting knowing that he has the answer. It's a waiting knowing that he will guide you. He will lead you. Even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you don't have to fear. You don't have to fear evil and death and all the things of the world. I will put my faith and my trust in you. I'm going to wait here, Lord, until I have seen you answer what I have been bringing to you. I'm going to wait, but I'm going to wait in assurance. I'm going to wait in this assurance that you are the author of life. You are the perfecter of our faith. Have your will, Lord. Let's stand as we sing this song.